In the 17th century, the English philosopher Thomas Hobbes famously described life, human existence, as nasty, brutish, and short. Now that has a kind of antique and curious ring to us here in London, Ontario. Except if you sit back and think about it, that continues to be the condition of most of the people on the planet at this moment. Nasty, brutish, and short. For instance, the lifespan in many countries in Africa is coming lower and lower and lower, 40 years in a bunch of countries. At the time of Jesus, the average lifespan was 35 years. And the reason I bring this up is that people in that condition, in Jesus' time, in Hobbes' time, and in our own time, look for something that's going to sustain them in life. And classically, the thing that has sustained people is what we call wisdom. That too has a kind of antique and quaint sound. I mean, who's going around today in London, Ontario, looking for wisdom? We already know what life is all about. It's economic security, full stop. But it certainly was not for the ancients, and not just Hobbes. I mean, if you look at Jesus' time, if you look at, as I said, most of the history of human life on this planet, I think that's really an apt description. And so, because people didn't even think that they were ever going to have economic security. I mean, there were no social nets to capture people who were on the verge in Jesus' time or in Hobbes' time. Therefore, the kind of easy solution that we have come up with, namely economic security, was not available to them. Even if you read the great Greek philosophers, Aristotle, Plato, Socrates, what was a crucial question they asked? How does one live a good life? A good life. As I said, we've sort of foreshortened the answer to that question, but it was very urgent for them. All this is in service of this further passage from the 6th chapter of John's Gospel. Next week we'll have the concluding part of that chapter. Because the context for this Eucharistic, what we can call Eucharistic discourse, because it's only in John. There's nothing like this in any of the other Gospels. Nothing like it. It's totally unique to John. Is something also that pervades the Johannine Gospel and was one of the very first things that these Jesus followers came up with as a way of trying to make sense of who he was. Namely, they saw Jesus as the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. And it's unfortunate, this thing that Ian read from Proverbs is from the 9th chapter. You ought to go and look at the 8th chapter of wisdom of the book of Proverbs, because it's precisely that that informs the hymn that opens the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, etc. It's almost verbatim what Proverbs 8 has to say. In other words, they personified God's wisdom. And there's always a lady, too, very interesting, Lady Wisdom. So they said, this is who Jesus is. Not God, but the wisdom of God, the wisdom of God. So what goes on when you look for wisdom? You look for something that endures. Something that sustains you, enables you to endure life, because life is, in fact, as Hobbes rightly noted, an endurance contest for most of the world, most of human history. And so, just as Lady Wisdom sets her table, providing bread and wine, nourishment, life, so the Johannine writers take up that theme and have Jesus as the bread of life. And it's There's another Johannine theme in here, and we'll see yet another one next week, about where John constantly talks about eternal life. This too is peculiar to him. Nobody else talks that way. That is, if you believe that Jesus is what being human is all about, then you already have eternal life. Now, why was that so urgent? Because the whole Jesus movement was dynamized to a very large extent by this expectation, which we find all over Paul, for instance, to the day he died. Paul thought that God was going to send Jesus back and ring down the curtain on the human adventure. We call it eschatology, the end times. It didn't happen. Obviously, it did not happen. Still had not happened. So the Gospel of John, which was written toward the end of the first century and into the second century, devised this very clever thing, that although the end has not happened, if you really do subscribe to Jesus' view of human existence, you already have this durability. You already have eternal life. You have what life, human life, is all about. You have wisdom. So, there's all kinds of stuff going on in this text, which if we're serious about this stuff, then we need to know what it is. Wisdom. Jesus as the wisdom of God. And wisdom sets her table with bread and wine. As I said last week, nourishing us, sustaining us, giving us, even in bourgeois London, Ontario, the impetus to look beyond simply economic security as to what life is really supposed to be all about, what really does endure. When I first came to London a long time ago, frighteningly long time ago, I was told this is the insurance capital of Canada. Maybe it still is, I don't know. London life is here. Insurance is an interesting phenomenon. What does insurance do? It tends to tame an unknown future. So I won't go hungry, I won't go homeless, I won't go naked. But we really do have a very strong impulse here to find something that is going to get us through life, something enduring. And so I think it takes a certain amount of discipline and a certain exercise, and a certain kind of intellectual asceticism for us to crawl out under, from under this, basically this illusion that if we have enough money, have enough comfort, physical comfort, then we'll be all right. So as always, the gospel sort of unseats us, if you will, tips us over, makes us eccentric, moves the center from our lives, out from us, into this mysterious area between us and, as Aquinas constantly said, that mystery we call God.